Los Angeles is known for its glitz and glamour, but what some don't know is that next to the shiny boulevards sits a sector called Skid Row, which is the largest stable population of homeless people in the United States. It's estimated that 7,000 to 8,000 people live homeless in these 52 blocks. The area is a bizarre amalgamation. It's a marketplace for cheap goods during the day and a drug-dealing, violent area at night, a place where even prostitutes were working out of portable toilets. And then in 2005, the unspeakable happened here. A video was released showing hospital ambulances dropping off medical patients to the homeless heathen. The patients either couldn't pay their bills or were unable to give the drivers their home address. These mentally and physically ill people were left to live on the streets, still wearing their hospital gowns. Mental illness can develop because of many reasons and can sprout at any age. Cases of schizophrenia, for instance, usually develop before 19. Those with mental illness are more likely to lose 10 to 12 years of their lives, since they're more likely to have physical health problems, and there is also a high suicide rate connected to issues of mental health. With LA's homeless population, it's believed that the cycle goes like this. A development of mental illness leads to drug use, which consequently leads to life on the streets. A recent study by RMIT called "Are the Homeless Mentally Ill?" shows that previous estimates have been over-exaggerated. I spoke with the study author, Dr. Guy Johnson.
Look, I suppose that we found a much lower rate than has been reported in a number of studies around Australia. A couple of studies have pointed to about 70 to 80% of homeless people have mental health problems, and certainly in the public domain. A recent study on public attitudes towards the homeless found that 80% of people thought that mental illness was a common cause, or the most common cause of homelessness. And so we were quite interested by this because we'd looked at some of the studies and they were targeting specific subpopulations of the homeless, broader homeless population. And we're a bit concerned because the populations they were targeting typically do have higher rates of mental illness. So we did a large study of 4,291 homeless households. We read the case notes at a couple of homeless agencies. And we had a look at whether they had mental health issues, and we found that 31% of that sample of over 4,000, had mental health issues. We also found that for many of them, they were developing the problems afterwards.
How is it possible exactly to count the homeless population, since they're by definition transitory?
Well, it all depends. I mean, the enumeration strategy that the ABS does is quite a complex undertaking. Remembering that not all homeless people are sleeping on the streets and not highly transitory. Some are in boarding houses, some emergency accommodation, some are staying with their family, with friends, they're couch surfing. So they're a bit more stable. Now, there's high mobility, don't get me wrong there, but certainly not everyone's on the street or sleeping rough, which is sort of, I suppose, the public understanding of homelessness. In fact, the homeless population involves or includes people in boarding houses, substandard accommodation and the like. So that's how the census does it. In terms of how we get our data, it's typically either through interviews or going to homeless services. It seems to be the most effective way to do that.
How do you describe the homelessness process?
Well, I mean, there's a great deal of variation in how people become homeless, but we've sort of plotted five principal pathways in the homeless population. The first pathway is through family breakdown. That's where families are struggling, they break down. Partners may go separate ways, the male may become homeless, the female may not, or vice versa. So family breakdown is a significant one. You've also got what we call the housing crisis pathway. That one may lose their job, be tied to high rental based on having a job, struggle to pay their rent, struggle to pay their bills, lose their housing, end up in the homeless population. Now, both of those two pathways are about, we think about 20% of people become homeless in each of those pathways. So all up, 40% of people become homeless because of family breakdown or housing crisis. Then you have people who become homeless because of substance abuse issues, and you have people who also become homeless because of mental health issues. We think that they represent about 15% of each of those pathways. Now, the point that I made before is that many people develop substance abuse problems and mental health issues after they become homeless. It's not the reason they become homeless, it happens after. And we found that most commonly happen with people who experience homelessness when they're young. So we found about 40% of our sample first experienced homelessness when they were 18 or younger. The main issue was family conflict. Drugs and mental illness were there but rarely implicated to the extent that most people think. A lot of the people who develop mental health problems and substance abuse problems